Welcome to another installment of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Rock Dilliman, lead pastor at ACAC. Our readings this week took us through one of the minor prophets, the writings of the prophet Joel. And before we delve into his reference to the Holy Spirit, I want to remind you that the minor prophets are not referred to as minor prophets because their message was somehow less important. They are referred to as minor prophets because their writings were shorter in length than the so-called major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel. In Joel's prophetic writing, the second chapter talks about promised restoration. And it looks forward to the ministry of Christ and the church age following the ascension of Christ. And it refers to that in verses 28 and 29 of the second chapter. There, we read about the promise of the Spirit. Here's the narrative. It will come about after this, that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. The New Testament, specifically the book of Galatians, makes it clear that the fulfillment of that prophecy occurred on the day of Pentecost. That was its initial fulfillment. And the fulfillment is continuing into the present moment. You'll remember that after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem, that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to take his place. And then, once they had the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, then they were to begin to fulfill his mandate to go and evangelize the world and make disciples everywhere. So, on the day of Pentecost, this prophecy was fulfilled. God poured out his Spirit. And this particular prophecy, while it's generally seen as a relatively safe prophecy, one day God's going to pour out his Spirit. That's not threatening. That feels rather warm and fuzzy and promising and good and positive. But the thing I want to emphasize to you today is that when Joel first announced this prophecy, it would not have been heard as safe and non-threatening. Quite the contrary. What do I mean? When Joel prophesied, the Jewish people did not have a vision for the coming kingdom of God that included Gentiles. In their thinking, Gentiles would be outside the kingdom of God. Now, this was contrary to what God told the father of the Hebrew nation, Abraham, when he said, through your seed, referring to the Messiah, all the ethnos, all the people groups of the world would be blessed. But it's possible to read a statement from God and not only miss what he was saying, but actually live in a way that you oppose what he said. And that's where the people of Israel were in Joel's day. To them, Gentiles were pagans and the enemy. So imagine their shock and their dismay when the prophecy says, I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Now, clearly, that included Gentiles. He didn't say, I will pour out my spirit on all the house of David. I will pour out my spirit on the descendants of Abraham. I will pour out my spirit on Israel, my chosen people. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Furthermore, in the days when this prophecy was first uttered, women did not have a stature of equality in the Jewish community, and especially in matters of spiritual leadership. So imagine their surprise when the next line says, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, will speak of what is to come, and will speak forth the truth of God. They could have accepted your sons, but he said your sons and daughters. Also, in that culture, the elderly were generally held in high regard, while the young served their informal but culturally real apprenticeship. So imagine their thoughts when he said, your old men will dream dreams. They were good with that. Your young men will see visions. Visions are pictures of God's desired future. Then there were classes of people in Hebrew culture and society. So in verse 29, another surprise. Even on the male and female servants, not just the community leaders, not just the heads of household, but on servants, male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit. God was announcing through that ancient prophecy that he is no respecter of persons, that he meant what he said and said what he meant when he said, all people will be blessed through your descendant. God was going on record that his kingdom doesn't observe gender favoritism, ethnic favoritism, age favoritism, social status and standing. No, the ground is level at the foot of the throne of God. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all. Again, it sounds rather innocuous to us, but it would have been shocking to the original audience. What's the takeaway? The takeaway is that God intended his spirit to unify those who believe and by faith follow him. The seal of God's work in our life is the Holy Spirit. The sign of God's presence in our life is the Holy Spirit. Assurance that God is in our life comes from the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the Spirit, we don't belong to Christ. If we belong to Christ, we have the Spirit. And since the Spirit never acts in opposition to himself, those who are indwelt by the Spirit should never live or act in opposition to others who are indwelt by that same Spirit. What am I getting at? I'm reminding you that where people are one in Christ and where they share the same identity, the same hope, the same eternal Father, the same Lord, the same calling, the same status, the same future. They should never, never divide along the artificial fault lines of ethnicity, politics, economy, income, social status. When God said, "I will pour out my spirit on all kinds of people," he was also saying that in his kingdom, all kinds of people embrace one another in spirit-created unity. And make no mistake, it's the Spirit who creates it. We're not called to create unity. We're told to guard the unity of the Spirit. So Joel 2, 28 and 29 really affirms a part of our vision here at ACAC. We believe that people who are being led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, instructed by the Spirit, who are filled with the Spirit, who are moving in the anointing of the Spirit, will step across the artificial boundaries of ethnicity, economy, gender, age, and politics, because that which unites them, the Spirit, is greater than any of the temporary things that would foolishly divide them. So if I were going to summarize the takeaway, I would say this, and I don't mean to be inflammatory, but I do mean to be direct. If the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart isn't changing the way you view people different than yourself, who share your faith, you aren't obeying the Holy Spirit. You're quenching the Spirit and resisting the Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit. Joel 2, 28, 29 is not only a preview of how the church would be created and function, it's also a reminder that where the Spirit is truly in charge, all the false barriers come tumbling down. In this fractured culture, where we see historic ethnic animosities resurfacing with new vigor and new hatred, in this fractured culture, where we see people dividing along the fault lines of politics and classifying the world as us and the bad guys in their thinking, none of that thinking should ever be found within the church. If it is, that church is not honoring the Holy Spirit. And where it is, the intent of God is being demonstrated. So God bless you. You have a great week as you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in how you look at other people.